Did the ancient Egyptians know the secrets of immortality? If fish eat worms, do fish holes eat wormholes? All these questions you can find the answer to on This Paranormal Life. Hello, everyone, and welcome to This Paranormal Life, the award-winning number one podcast in this region of the solar system. That's right. My name is Roy Powers. This guy's name is Kit Greer.
Hey!
And we're so glad to be back with another paranormal tale. If you haven't listened to this podcast before, what we do is every week, as professional paranormal investigators, we investigate a brand new case that has been brought to our doorsteps. You know, they're ringing the doorbell, bing bong, bing bong. We're pretending like we're not home. They're peeking in through the window. We say, "Fuck off, we're busy." But they won't. They won't. So we have to open the door and solve their problems. And that's what we're doing today. We're solving another paranormal problem. And today I have a fantastic problem.
Really?
A good problem to have. A really good problem. Today we're going to be investigating what is believed to be one of the most terrifying haunted locations on the face of the earth.
Really?
CNN even voted it one of the scariest places in the world.
So a lot of people have been there, I guess, but survived because they got to vote.
Scary doesn't necessarily mean deadly.
Well, that's true. But
because it's pretty scary in the mouth of a freaking shark, but you wouldn't vote that one of the scariest places in the world.
We've covered a lot of...
It's pretty scary to be in a f***ing ISIS stronghold, but no one's voting that the spookiest room in the world. But this is grade A spooky.
And we've covered a lot of haunted, cursed, spooky locations all over the world. I mean, to think of one, Centralia, we covered not that long ago.
Yeah.
This is a abandoned ghost town, which apparently has a hole to the center of the earth or some shit in it. So to beat that, we're going to have to go pretty damn spooky.
Yeah, I mean, what could beat an abandoned ghost town except an abandoned ghost psychiatric hospital?
Oh my God.
That's right. We're going to be talking about Gonjiam Psychiatric Hospital in Korea.
Korea.
That's right.
I think this is a very new location for This Paranormal Life.
It is. And that is because I just got back from a little holiday in Korea.
From a little psychiatric ward.
They let me go. Yeah, I was just in Korea on holidays for 6 days for the first time in my life. And I fell in love with that city and that country. It was incredible. I had such a good time that I thought it was only fair if I gave it a little bit of a shout out on the podcast in the form of a paranormal case right there in its own territory.
Beautiful.
So let's just dive right into this thing. Now, this psychiatric hospital operated for many, many years before its closure in the early 1990s. It's located in Gwangju, a small rural city located southeast of Seoul, and understandably has become a sought-after destination for dark tourists and paranormal enthusiasts. Not only because of the legends of what happened inside the asylum, but the fact that it looks like it was abandoned overnight.
We're talking like a TV set still left on the news channel.
Yeah.
Just TV static.
So why would a psychiatric hospital be evacuated so dramatically? Issues with the building? Overpopulation? Or did it contain dark secrets about to be exposed?
The last one.
Of course, the last one. I just threw the other two in for shits and giggles. While there are a lot of explanations as to why the building shut, we're here to talk about the paranormal, the only explanation that matters. According to the rumors and legends, two of our favorite things. In the 10 years leading up to the hospital's closure, patients and some of the staff were inexplicably found dead.
What? That's pretty extreme.
Patients in their rooms and staff at their own desks.
What?
When the families of those who had passed away were told about the deaths, they were never given full explanations of what happened, and their deaths were always left in mysterious circumstances.
I mean, give them a full explanation, even if it's a lie. Don't be like, dunno.
Yeah. Well, how did my Trevor pass away?
Many strange things happen in the asylum.
That's not an answer, and I'm gonna call the police, because that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Are you a patient, or are you the actual doctor?
the lines of blood here in the asylum.
They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be.
You're
blurred.
Holding a mop, so you're probably a janitor.
Are you the janitor? The real head of the institution walks in. What are you doing in here? Get out. You're supposed to be cleaning the toilets.
Sorry, sir.
The woman's like, can you tell me what happened to my Trevor? Yeah, he died. He had a heart attack. Oh, thank you. That's exactly what I wanted. This had happened often enough for rumors to begin to spread on the internet. South Korean chat forums began swapping stories and researching the case, discovering more and more about the disappearances. And in all the chat rooms, the same phrase in Korean kept popping up. The mad doctor. Which isn't what you want.
Which is an oxymoron.
You're fighting fire with fire at that point.
It is a paradox. It is the opposite of what should be true. We've talked before on the podcast about witch doctors.
Yes.
And how, in general, that's a concept that is best left in the past.
Yes, for sure.
You do not need a doctor who is also in communion with the devil or the dark arts.
For sure.
And indeed, in a psychiatric hospital, you do not need a doctor who is also a patient.
You'd think that would go without saying, but...
It's crazy.
But here we are.
It wasn't in the rule books.
They found a loophole. It's mad. There was this mad rule where if you were a patient there and you punched the biggest doctor in the whole institution, you became the new doctor.
Insane.
It was so backwards. Well, stories spread of a doctor as mentally unstable as his patients who would do horrible experiments on those residing in the asylum. And when any staff caught wind of what was happening, they too would find themselves a victim of the mad doctor.
Okay, you don't have to yell, man.
As the situation escalated and more people talked about what was happening at the asylum, pressure to storm inside Area 51 style was growing.
Booyah!
But then, almost overnight, the building was abandoned. And we don't mean like they packed everything and left. We're talking patients' belongings in the room, lab coats and chalkboards left untouched. There's mattresses on the beds, paperwork, photographs, everything just left behind.
Weird. So like a kind of whenever you see those photos of Chernobyl and just the kids' pencils are still just left on the table. They're in the middle of doing work and they just got up and went.
Which is crazy because you assume there's a lot of sensitive information in a mental institution.
Yeah.
That you should probably take, because a lot of these people are probably going to another institution. So what are you going to do when you show up? They're like, hey, so this is Craig. He needs a room here in the institution. It's like, okay, can you tell me about his medical history? No. We left it in that old building. It's like, that's not going to help anyone. That's not going to help Craig at all.
Turns out the mad doctor didn't keep very good records, so it's probably for the best.
You just scribbled them in stone.
He mostly wrote prescriptions in his own feces on the floor.
So we've talked a lot about this institution, what it looks like, and the state that it was abandoned in. Mm-hmm. I think it's only fair, Kit, to throw over some photos for you to take a look at.
Finally, some evidence on this show.
All right.
Okay, so I've got a series of photos here. Very modern, actually. First of which, we see the sort of dirt road through the forest clearing that leads to the home of the mad doctor and the psychiatric ward. Very creepy, covered in barbed wire and kind of a big old sign, presumably saying "Keep out."
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, is that regulation barbed wire in a mental institution? It gives off kind of an unfriendly vibe,
to say the least. Okay, so here's the juicy stuff. We're inside the psychiatric ward. This is weird. This is like a little room where it looks like belongings and bedding are stacked up very high. Just left in a real state of dilapidation. This is weird. It's difficult as well because these photos are presumably taken years after the fact.
Yes.
You can see that the building has fallen apart quite a lot.
Mother Nature has reclaimed the bish, I think is the technical term.
Yeah, so it's hard to understand what was left on that day when it was evacuated and what has changed since then. But of course, like you say, bedding still intact, people's possessions still intact.
Creepy.
In this photo, we have a bloody hand on the wall.
Yeah, it's pretty weird, isn't it?
I don't know if that's a troll or not. Yeah, pretty creepy stuff all in all. It definitely makes you think, what are the... It's a bad situation when you're comparing the state of a building to that of one in Chernobyl or something like that. There's not many things that would make you up and leave. We're talking nuclear disaster.
Yes.
fire, maybe. But even then, if once the fire either burns down the building or you reclaim the building and go back to work.
Yeah, you don't just leave everything. And also, there's no fire. You can see there's no fire.
There's zero fire. Also, there would presumably be a record of that, but it doesn't leave many explanations for why you would go.
Well, the asylum closing so abruptly was already a strange thing to happen, but to add fuel to the conspiracy fire...
There was a fire!
After its closure, the owner of the property quickly left the country, leaving no documentation behind about the land or the buildings on it.
What?
Yeah.
Is that legal?
He up and left.
So not only did the people inside the building up and leave, but the owner of the building, who was nowhere to be seen, tenuously linked to the whole affair, he left the country.
The country, that's how bad it was.
He might have left the planet. We don't know where he went.
Also, if you are leaving a country, if you're trying to catch a flight out of a country because the mental asylum that you owned had to be abandoned overnight, I mean, that is how you get on a no-fly list.
They should take away your passport at least for a day to figure out what's going on.
Like, I have a friend whose second name is Hussein, and he gets searched almost nonstop at airports randomly.
Sure, sure.
This motherfucker owns an abandoned insane asylum, and he's trying to flee the country.
I'm going to go on the record. He's the mad doctor. The mad doctor, you can be a mad doctor and travel wherever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah, I'm assuming this guy is covered in blood, still in the lab coat,
yeah.
Stethoscope, he's holding a human eye.
Right. In the other hand, a giant hypodermic needle covered in human blood.
Yeah, and they're like, sir, there is metal in the tip of the needle. You're going to have to put it through the x-ray machine. And he's like, that's very good, very good. Is there a possibility to upgrade to premium? And they're like, sorry, sir, the flight is fully booked. I hope you have a lovely stay. Very good, very good. And he's just strolling through. Everyone else is getting searched around him, but this guy is like totally fine. He's going straight to the tarmac.
The guy with the x-ray machine is just seeing vials of T-virus in his baggage. It's like, whatever.
Sir, this is a liquid. You're going to have to put this in your hold luggage.
I will abide by the laws. And might I say, what beautiful skin you have, my child.
Now, since the building closed down, it's been completely left to ruin. The only people who go visit it these days are paranormal enthusiasts investigating the site. And this place is not easy to get to, Kit. The building is surrounded by high fences and sharp barbed wire.
We saw that.
And there's been reports of people injuring themselves trying to get into the asylum. On top of that, the locals are very protective of the site. And there's been numerous investigators who claim that when they asked, locals would refuse to tell them where it was or deliberately give them the wrong directions.
Hmm.
Spooky.
That is kind of interesting.
What are they hiding?
What
are you hiding in there? Huh?
Huh.
Secrets? The mad doctor? Is he back? The few investigators who have made it into the asylum have harrowing tales. There's stories of mysterious screaming, the sound of footprints, and visitors even say that they've seen the ghosts of dead patients wandering the halls. People have left the building covered in random scratches with no memory of receiving them. All right, watch it.
Probably the barbed wire.
Right,
let's be honest.
Well, moving on from the scratches, I guess, because you don't care about them. One photographer who visited the site by herself said, "The hospital has multiple floors, but the ground floor was the darkest and the spookiest in many ways. Even if the hospital was abandoned deliberately for practical reasons, it still seemed eerie to see how disheveled the hospital was. I mean, it's not like this place was cleaned out in an orderly fashion. Plenty of furniture was left in the rooms, particularly on the ground floor. I found room after room where the mattresses were stacked, wooden furniture was shoved, old blankets were stuffed, all of it slowly rotting from the influx of weather. In some rooms, it looked like they were still set up for patients. Only now, 20 years had passed. A good chunk of the windows were broken, and there was glass everywhere. So it definitely looked like the hospital was abandoned in a hurry, thus lending credence to the idea the hospital was overrun with ghosts. And since this was a former psychiatric hospital, you know that any ghosts that could reside here would be even creepier, because they would be the ghosts of former mentally ill patients. That's a spooky take.
I guess
it is. A spooky take with a fantastic accent. What do you think about that? The possibility that this institution was maybe not suffering the wrath of a mad doctor, but possibly the fact that this place is haunted now is because it was haunted back then, and that's why they had to GTFO.
Damn. So it may have been evacuated for paranormal reasons and not just be paranormal today as a byproduct.
Yeah.
Now, that would be extremely creepy. And it may also explain why the owner wanted to use your term, GTFO of the goddamn country. That would indicate a pretty high level of haunting. It's an interesting idea because hospitals, insane asylums, these feature very heavily in kind of haunted location lore. It's sort of seen that these are, like this woman describes, they are a higher tier of haunted than a regular house, which kind of, I don't know if it even makes intuitive sense, just because I guess these people are suffering.
That I think that's it, right?
They're more likely to become ghosts, stay in this realm, rather than pass on peacefully into the next realm.
Yeah, because you're never usually, you don't really have a lot of paranormal stories involving a ghost that had a good life, passed away in his sleep, surrounded by his loved ones, but then still remains here to just mess with people.
Yeah.
Because they all went to heaven. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Yeah, it's like the idea of a poltergeist is a playful, dickling little spirit who messes with people. As we know in the human living world, the only people who are little mischievous dicklings are people who kind of have problems with themselves.
Yeah.
So that's why we don't really see too many ghosts on beautiful paradise beaches.
Exactly. Because everyone was fine. Everyone died and they're fine. Happy. I'm going to fade away into ghost town. I don't know what happens when we die. We just die. Who knows what it is?
You might go to ghost town. You might go to Flavor Town.
I'm
not an expert.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a place where there obviously was a lot of suffering. This is a place that should, following that theory, have a lot of ghosts. Well, in 2018, the movie Gonjiam Haunted Asylum was released, which was a super popular Korean movie where a team of YouTubers went to the asylum and basically got the crap haunted out of them. The synopsis for the film reads, "The leader, Ha Jun, who runs a YouTube channel that deals with the supernatural, leads the team of youngsters to the Gonjiam Asylum and the mysterious room 402, which is supposed to have never been opened since the hospital closed decades before." Very cool idea for a film.
Awesome idea.
You replace paranormal YouTube channel with paranormal podcast and we could literally be...
I honestly think it would have won an Oscar.
Yeah, exactly. I did look into Room 402 to see if there was any reality behind that narrative, but it seems to be essentially made up for the film.
Got it.
The current owner of the asylum actually filed a lawsuit to try and stop the movie getting shown, worried it would hurt the reputation of the building and decrease the sale price.
Bro, give it up. You own a haunted asylum. This is the greatest thing that could have ever happened to your asylum.
Right? I mean, it's one of the most popular Korean horror films now ever made. So that, yeah, that you won the lottery. You were trying to sell an abandoned insane asylum that's been like there are patients' records scattered across the floor. There's a we just saw a picture of a bloody hand on the wall.
So as you can see here, we've got a lovely high security fencing around the outside, extremely secure. Yeah, loads of barbed wire. Yeah, that came into place originally, actually.
That'll be good to keep the kids in, Margaret.
Yeah, and as we see, we've got this dirt trail just up to the building. No, not, you wouldn't want it too easy to drive on, too
course,
easy to get to. That way you get, you know, sort of paranormal intruders. Anyway, up here, as you can see, if you just walk inside the first holding cell.
A bit of broken glass here.
Oh yeah, more than a bit, mate. Better watch your feet. We got beautiful tiles here with some lovely tribal handprints along the walls there.
I seem to be noticing a number of spiders here on the facility.
Right, yeah, there'll be a few of them. This is Lucy. Yeah, she's been living here the last while. Scientists actually have never seen this sort of spider before.
Right.
It's kind of, well, it's more ghost than spider, really. It's actually a spider-shaped ghost.
Is there any chance of getting rid of it, or is that a permanent...
God, no, no. She's older than the building, mate. She's pretty quiet during the day, but normally starts sort of, you know, sort of demonic chanting at night. Keep the earplugs in. It should be absolutely fine.
Is the building pet-friendly? We have a little chihuahua.
I tell you what, mate, Billy would normally be pet friendly, but Lucy actually, she gives birth once every 300 years, yeah? And you don't want to be around for that. I highly recommend being on holiday for the unbirthing, because the chihuahua will not survive, mate.
Well, I usually live to about 90 years, so hopefully if we're not in the cycle, it should be... We should be fine.
Oh, Margaret? No, she's fit to birth. She's fit to birth. Really, any moment now.
I mean, gun to my head, we'll take it. All right, it's time for some real talk. What happened here? Why did it close down so quickly? Well, apparently, Gonjiam was forced to close in the early 1990s, mainly due to economic downturns, unsanitary conditions, and most importantly, problems with the sewage disposal system.
Okay, well, I think that two of those are the same problem, the unsanitary conditions and the sewage.
The facility was a mess, and it eventually got to the point where it was forced to close down. They all make sense. They're very logical explanations as to why. The only thing that I find a bit weird is, you know, people in every article I read really honed in on these sewage disposal issues. How bad does a sewage disposal system have to be for you to abandon overnight?
Forever.
Forever. Like, were the pipes about to burst with shit in everyone's faces? Why did everyone have to leave? How bad is the poo situation that you have to abandon your belongings?
That's a great question. Like what?
Because if our toilet starts flooding or like shooting up poo or pee or whatever, you know, I'm gonna come and grab my MacBook and some of my clothes. I'm not gonna be like, I have to leave the country. There's so much shit in that building.
Unless it already exploded, covering your MacBook and everything.
Of course.
At that point,
the patients were essentially waterfalled out of the facility. It was not much, it was more of a forced departure.
Sure, sure. It's a great point, because if it were just that the sewage system wasn't working properly, you might say, okay, there's a lot of bathrooms here. There's X many people staying here. How about let's do a staged kind of move? We'll get this many people to move out. We'll close on that side of the building. Then we'll gradually evacuate the building over a few days or something. But no, like you say, possessions left.
Yeah. Which doesn't make any sense. Because also, if this is what happened, the owner who fled the country would essentially have to say to border control, I'm leaving because the toilets at my mental institution exploded.
There is no box to tick.
They shoot you right there on the spot for an answer like that.
Whenever they ask you, is it business or pleasure? There's no box that says my mental asylum sewage is overflowing.
If you try and even fit that in the little box where it's like additional information,
they will shoot you.
You're not getting into the country for sure.
If you are somebody who loves all things spooky, then Real Life Ghost Stories podcast is the one for you. My name is Emma. I am the host of Real Life Ghost Stories podcast. And every week I bring to you three podcast episodes that are full to the brim with paranormal stories. Every Wednesday and Friday, I release a mini episode, which is dedicated to the spooky stories of our listeners. And every Sunday, we deep dive into a famous paranormal case. You can find Real Life Ghost Stories wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, despite Gonjiam being one of the most popular haunted asylums, there are dozens and dozens of these places. It's mostly because before the 19th century, there was very little distinction between asylums, poorhouses, and jails.
Wow.
Back then, being poor was pretty much being insane.
That's awful.
It's terrible.
Is the same as being an illegal.
Yeah, I guess rich people would look at poor people and be like, you're crazy to live like this. Lock yo, you up.
Yo, straight up fair play.
For I being, couldn't do being what to, you do.
I couldn't do, live on the street, bro, so respect for that. Also, go to jail.
Please, do not pass go. These early asylums were often seen as dumping grounds for anyone outside the norm, and many facilities were up to 1,000% overpopulated.
1,000?
1,000%.
At that point, prison guards are the crazy people. The poor people are running the place.
Oh, yeah.
The walls are made out of sick patients.
Of course.
It's just a whole smorgasbord.
It's like just a ball.
People who are suffering.
The Danvers Lunatic Asylum in Massachusetts was originally designed to hold mentally unstable prisoners. But before long, it was housing the mentally ill, alcoholics, and eventually just regular prisoners.
Wow.
It became so severely understaffed by the 1930s that patients' deaths were often not discovered until days later.
Whoa.
Crazy. The Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in West Virginia was designed to house around 250 patients, but ended up holding more than 2,400.
Oh my god.
There was overcrowding, abuse, people were locked in cages. It was horrible. Horrible situations. Now, why am I talking about all these horrible haunted asylums? Well, because there's a big difference. All of the horrible events and deaths that took place in these asylums were in some form properly documented.
Huh.
A lot of the stories that came from Gonjiam Asylum are legends and rumors that would naturally pop up around a quickly abandoned asylum.
Mm.
And that's the major distinction. I looked and searched online. I couldn't find any official reports of any investigations into the asylum or the disappearance of the owner.
Yeah.
From what I could find, it was all above board. There was no investigation into any of the staff or any of the doctors who worked there, assuming that they were insane.
Because that's really the main gap in this, is if we're really claiming that the place was abandoned overnight, surely not all those people disappeared forever. Surely we can go and talk to one of the... It's not that long ago. We could talk to a doctor and ask them what happened.
Yeah. I mean, it closed in the early 1990s. A lot of the people who probably were there are still alive today.
Toilet exploded. Wow.
We had to leave immediately.
That's all it was. Crazy.
That's actually what it was. Yeah, I think it's... In this case, it seems from the outside that it was just a very quickly abandoned asylum.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned before, when any building is abandoned very quickly, you're probably going to get some weird rumors around it. But a mental institution being abandoned very quickly, I mean, that's a gasoline fire. That's, you know, words are going to spread, especially in a small town like this one. So I think that's the big difference that we have to look at today, especially when we come down to our conclusions.
Of course.
So Kit, I've told you a lot of stories about this building. I've told you about the history. I've told you about some of the rumors, legends, all of the pyramids of the Golden Pyramid of Truth. I've shown you pictures. I've read you testimonies from photographers who went to the location. I've told you about the history of other mental asylums. I've done a good day's work. Where's your head at? What are you thinking?
Love this. Love finally getting to go to Korea. I know that you got to go on a fantastic holiday for almost a full week. But, you know, I really feel like I've been there after this episode.
Yeah. I painted it in a very creepy light.
Instead of staying in 5-star hotels and experiencing the glitz and glam of Seoul, I've been hanging out for the last hour in a mental asylum in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by barbed wire. You gotta love a haunted asylum case. We've covered them before, but like this one, it just has all the hallmarks of a great haunting case. And like this, it has so much basis in reality that we can go and visit it and look at it. And we have seemingly dozens of testimonies from paranormal investigators that are gonna go down the line and say that they've heard shit, that they've seen shit. But like you say, the fact that this was at one point a mental asylum does mean that whether anything happened or not, people are going to start rumors. And we saw this even with the case of Bunnyman Bridge, which was centered around a crazy person murdering a bunch of people after escaping from an insane asylum in America.
Yeah.
It turned out that in that case, you didn't even need a real insane asylum for that rumor to spread.
Yeah.
That story came out of seemingly nowhere.
Absolutely nowhere.
So it's more than natural that with such a creepy location here in Korea, that such stories will spread far and wide. I think for that reason, the whole thing seems too convenient that on the most sensational end of the spectrum for possible explanations, we have an entire hospital emptying overnight and all the people going missing forever. And that just seems too impossible to be true.
Yeah.
It would have to be better documented and we'd have to have families looking for all those people who went missing. And it seems maybe that the truth might be at least somewhere more in the middle and maybe more towards the fact that something more mundane happened here.
I think that's really what it comes down to. I mean, because we mentioned other asylums where genuinely horrible things did happen, and that's all been very well documented, and there's a historical record of that. But in this case, this asylum, the Gonjiam Asylum, I mean, it's all rumors. It's all, like, there is really no concrete evidence of anything that happened here. So it'd be a different story, I think, if we were investigating one of these asylums where we know horrible things took place. But in this case, we don't even know if anything bad happened here to begin with. And if we don't even know that anything bad happened, it's hard to even jump to the conclusion that something paranormal happened. That's even a step further than that. I don't know if we're on the same page here for this week, but for me, I think this week it's going to be a no.
No.
I do not believe that this asylum is haunted.
I do want to watch that movie, though.
Yeah. Oh, apparently it's really good and really creepy. Yeah, I know, we should definitely watch it.
A good Korean horror movie. That is a piece de la resistance. That's some beautiful stuff.
Yeah, and this is very highly, highly, highly rated. So thank you so much for listening to this week's episode about the Gonjiam Asylum and whether or not it is haunted or not. Unfortunately, it's another no. Another no this week.
Yet another.
But what was lovely was we got to talk about my new favorite place in the world, Korea. That's right. This week we are sponsored by Korea.
Visit Korea.
The country. Visit Korea. I am basically 24/7 trying to find a way to move there now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a Korean national and want to get married, please let me know and send me your information and we'll make this thing happen.
I don't know if we have any listeners out there in the paranormal Korean nation, but I do know that people were very excited when we briefly talked about BTS in a previous episode.
It's very true.
So hopefully.
Yeah. Send over your marriage proposals. I'll go through them all. Age is not a factor. Gender, not a factor. I just want to go to Korea.
North or South, I am not picky.
I actually don't care about Korea either. I'm actually pretty lonely. Pretty lonely as shit. Thought having a paranormal podcast would bring in the ladies, but turns out not really their primary interest. So just to go to see us out this week, I like long walks on the beach. I like the music of BTS and the sunsets in Korea. So you have no interests before last week? All of my interests were overrided when I went to heaven, aka okay. Seoul.
Okay.
I like romantic candlelit dinners from food purchased at the 7-Eleven in Guri, a district outside
of the central city of Korea.
So many different countries as well. I like long walks by the DMZ, the Demilitarized Zone, and the North and South border, which is really great. So getting contact.
It can't be a long walk, can it?
It's actually a pretty short walk, but I do loops. All right, I do loops to make it last longer. But if you don't like walking, we don't have to loop. We'll just do it once. So there, I'm also a good negotiator, a good compromiser. So there you go. Got that going for me as well. So get in touch.
I don't think anyone's ever gotten any emails by asking people to email them marriage proposals.
At sendmetokorea@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of This Paranormal Life. Another no, but another banger in the bag. I mean, what could be better than listening to a podcast, right? Maybe seeing it with your eyes.
What?
Hearing it with your ears. I guess that's still the same thing.
Well,
but smelling it with your nose.
Surely not.
That's right. If you want the full 5D experience, you can get that in the form of the This Paranormal Life live show. That's right. Kit, you got the details. Let's hear them.
Sunday, 15th of September, 2019. You can enjoy one night only This Paranormal Live, live at King's Place, London for the London Podcast Festival. Live, live, live.
Live, live, live. Paranormal, paranormal, spooky, 5D. Yeah, we are doing a live investigation here in London. You should absolutely get tickets because tickets are actually moving quite fast. So if you do want to come to the show, I wouldn't wait till the last minute to pick them up because I don't know how many are going to be left when this episode is released. We've done a live show before and a lot of people said it was the best night of their life.
Mm-hmm.
One of our listeners, I think, asked if they wanted to have a threesome or a foursome. Someone had an orgy, I think, at
there was one. Afterwards.
Definitely one. Which was a good amount.
Neither of us were invited.
Which I think actually was super rude.
Pretty much.
Like, if anyone's getting invited to join the orgy, it should be me. I mean, I love Korea. I like long walks by the DMZ. I'm the perfect partner.
Well, you asked for marriage.
Unbelievable. Right. Yeah, you want. I don't want to just do an orgy without some commitment on the line.
Okay.
Unbelievable. But come to the live show. It's going to be really great. We're going to do a whole big live investigation. It's going to be amazing.
So if you do want to pick up tickets for the live show, you can do that at kingsplace.co.uk. That's the name of the venue we're going to be performing at. But if you check out our socials as well, we'll tweet the link.
And as always, if you support us on Patreon, what we like to do is end the show by giving you a very special shout out. So thank you to
August Blicker Friss.
June's all right. July's okay, but I prefer August. August is the best month because it is the fall. But instead of leaves, we got that cash money flowing down from August himself.
Bling, bling.
With your support, you help us survive the winter, August. So thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts.
Thanks also to Michael Siegel.
Why don't you back off my fish and chips, Mike Siegel? Or I might kill you. Mike Hill, Siegel.
Do you think Siegel, they must be way fed up of ice cream and fish and chips.
That's all they eat. I don't know how they haven't exploded from the sheer obesity. Honestly, Mike, I hope you're staying trim, doing some cardio.
Thanks also to Taylor S. Bond.
Taylor, I'm about to drop an S-bomb. I am shitting happy you're supporting us on Patreon. You are the shit. So thank you for your support. I'm sorry to be too crass. Pardon my French. I just support you immensely. And it makes me really shitting happy. So thank you.
Thank you also to Anna. Wow, if it isn't Anna the Planner.
Ooh.
She's a literal notebook. A literal diary of herself.
Oh my god.
A literal calendar, if you will.
How is she supporting us? How does she live? I guess she's got everything in order. She's got everything together.
Listen, top executives from all around the world come to Anna to plan
out. To write on her face. Because that's what she does best. Anna, I mean, we need your help. We're behind in Patreon shoutouts. We're behind in episodes. I haven't seen my kids in like 5 days.
Haven't mentioned them in 2 years.
If you could give us some planning, Anna, that would really help us out, Anna.
Thanks also to Stacey Meyer. Stacey Meyer, the town crier. That's right. She just runs about with a bell.
Screaming in the faces of anyone.
Screaming the news. It's not a job anymore. No one does it. No one's paying her.
Sometimes it's not even news. She just ran up and screamed in a baby's face.
Yeah.
Ringing that bell way louder than it should have been.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you're getting paid, but I think people maybe pay you to stop, which I guess is a career. You haven't done it yet, but they're still throwing money at you and you're collecting it in that bell. Stacey, thank you for your support. And, you know, if we ever need to promote a live show, we will absolutely request your services.
Thanks also to Rachel Purcell. Rachel, if this was 19th century Korea and you were sick, I would put you in a Purcell.
God, that was a stretch.
Because there is no distinction. So I know you don't deserve it. It's just like a loose rhyme on your last name.
Very true.
But honestly, that's enough for you to get locked behind barbed wire for many a year.
Very true. But it also means that you are a Korean native. So will you marry me, Rachel? We can live in the cell together. Have kids in the cell
You're
together.
You're willing to live in a jail.
I'll do what it takes to go back to Korea, whatever it takes. Just consider it, Rachel.
Thanks also to MK Freigeist.
Before CIA Operation MK Ultra, there was a little operation called MK Freigeist.
No.
That's right, they tried to combine a gun and a goose. The most dangerous weapon with the most dangerous animal. So I think what we're dealing with here and who we're being supported by is this gun goose.
Wow.
A goose.
Wonder if it ran out of ammo in all those years.
I think it lays egg-like ammo to supply itself with bullets. Somehow the thing's making money, and MK is here supporting us on the show.
I believe the goose was the second invention of Oppenheimer after the nuclear bomb. They said, how could Oppenheimer possibly outdo himself?
Yeah.
He's potentially ended humanity. But then he invented the gun and goose hybrid.
Because the quote, for the bomb was like,
right.
Now I am death or something.
Yeah,
now
destroyer of worlds.
Destroyer of worlds. I think after the goons, he said, I've really f***ed it now.
Yeah.
This shit is crazy. I think if you actually, you can still find that.
It's like a cool, he's like talking to the camera.
Yeah.
As it's being born.
Now I have really f***ed it up. This goose is unstoppable. It's one of his most famous lines.
Killed him instantly, obviously.
Because I was back. If the nuclear bomb didn't do anything, it was like we have the goons. We have the goons in case it's not enough. Of course, it was. Luckily, they didn't unleash the goons. But the goons is out now. The goons is supporting us on Patreon. I'm so glad that he laid a golden egg for us to support us. So thank you so much. And thanks for not killing us.
Thanks also to Fernando. Uh-oh, it's Fernando the Commando.
Nice.
This guy is just, his day job is just sprinting through the rainforest like Arnie and the Predator, just running and gunning, slashing vines with a knife. Craziest bit is, he doesn't actually work for any sort of military. He's
no.
just a commando. He's freelance.
Yeah, and instead of hunting the Predator, he's hunting the goons. The goons is wild, and the commander needs to hunt him down. Do whatever it takes, really. The two most ultimate fighting weapons on this earth pitted against each other. It's spectacular. And they still have time to listen to the show. It's fantastic stuff. Thank you.
They actually have a lot in common that way.
Yeah, maybe. I hope they realize that.
Thanks also to Lucille.
It's a good thing you're not in 1930s Korea, because you would be Lucille'd behind steel bars. That's right, you're going straight into the poorhouse. We do not care how rich you are, how stable you are, how alcoholic you are. You're going in there. But luckily, you're not there, because this isn't the 1930s. This is 2000 and now, and you're free to do whatever you want, listen to whatever you want, and support whoever you want on Patreon. So thank you, Lucille. Enjoy your freedom. Every day is a gift.
Thanks also to James Grigg.
James Grigg, half gun, half pig.
Surely
you
not.
You thought the goons was bad?
And we're not talking copper. We're talking
oinkin. He's absolute, I mean, bullets firing out of his nostrils. You trigger is his little curly pigtail.
Of course.
You pull that thing and he's firing them out. He's the second most deadly weapon / animal on this planet. And he supports the podcast. I'm flattered.
And thanks lastly but not leastly to Paper Heart. Is that a riff on your lyrics?
Oh, yeah. Didn't I write
my little paper heart?
Wow, if that is a callback to that, fair play. That's the funny thing about doing this show every week is like we do it. There's such a quick turnaround on a weekly podcast that you forget what you have to move on from the jokes you've already established so quickly. If that is a callback to my poem, what did I call my weak little paper heart?
My little paper heart.
Jesus Christ. If that's a callback to that, hey, I appreciate it. The album is still for sale. It's me just doing a bunch of emo songs.
That's right. I don't think I was going to buy it.
Well, if you do want it, it's still for sale. Okay. Still available. And if you're just trying to tell us that you need heart replacement, we'll relay that message to the paranormal commune. I mean, we're in a weird situation in the paranormal commune where we have a surplus of human hearts, and we don't really know what to do with them.
We don't really want to go into why
or how.
It's a long story, granted.
There's a 2-to-1 ratio on living humans to human hearts at the minute. We can't get rid of the bastards, to be honest with you. So if you do need a heart, hell, you want two hearts. Maybe your heart's fine, but you want a better one. Let us know. We can sort you out with it. It's one of the pluses of being a member of the Paranormal Commune. Free hearts. So thank you so much for your support, Paper Heart. And thank you so much to everyone's support, for everyone who listens to the show and supports us on Patreon. We are so grateful. Thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode. And we will be back next week with a brand new Paranormal Tale.
If you are somebody who loves all things spooky, then Real Life Ghost Stories Podcast is the one for you. My name is Emma. I am the host of Real Life Ghost Stories Podcast. And every week I bring to you 3 podcast episodes that are full to the brim with paranormal stories. Every Wednesday and Friday, I release a mini episode, which is dedicated to the spooky stories of our listeners. And every Sunday, we deep dive into a famous paranormal case. You can find Real Life Ghost Stories wherever you get your podcasts.